Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We are chatting with Dana Lyons, fund manager based out of Chicago, also writes the Lion's Share website, which I will post a link to below. Now, Dana, over the last few months, we've been chatting with you and you were outlining this two-way market that you were playing. It was not as, let's say, bullish as the market had been for most of the year, but fact of the matter is, you were saying it's time to hit singles. Don't get too aggressive and just make sure you're in what is running and don't, again, get too aggressive broadly. Has that changed at all now that we have the Fed meeting behind us, the taper has started? And quite frankly, you look at what happened since the middle of October and something like the S&P has moved pretty much straight up, almost 9% higher in about three quarters of a month. What are your thoughts now? Is this two-way market a bit over?
I think it is. I mean, let's face it, we've been talking about the two-way market since really the majority of the market topped out in back in, you know, March, April. You had pockets of the large caps continuing to hit new highs. But for the most part, the breadth measures, advanced decline measures, most of the broad averages topped out back in the spring and have moved sideways in what we call the two-way market. So, yeah, like you said, we've been hitting singles and doubles, buying the bottom of the range, selling the top of the range, putting on hedges, that type of thing, just being more or less defensive and trying to grind out some wins here and there while we're waiting out the two-way market. But as we've started talking about, I guess, last time or the last two times I've been on, if you go down the two-way market or the correction checklist, we had the breadth non-confirmations over the summer, which were the biggest negative and always lead to some sort of corrective or digestive action. That has now been turned around. We're seeing advanced decline lines hitting new highs again. So you can check that negative off. You talk about the seasonality, which from pretty much August to the first part of October is the most bearish or negative seasonal period of the year for equities. We're through that, so you can check that off. And then complacency over bullishness on the part of investors. We saw that in spades in the summer and into August. We did get some corrective action on that front into that sell-off into September to the early part of October. I would say we could, like we talked about, I think the last two times ago, and I was hoping for another plunge, another kind of capitulatory move in stocks that brought about more fearful readings, more bearishness among the sentiment readings that we track that are always highly reliable, consistent markers of intermediate term lows in the market. Never got that. We pretty much corrected to average or maybe slightly below average on those sentiment measures, but that's not it's not a prerequisite for a bottom and a turn higher in the market. So at this point, with the improvement in the internals, with the improvement in the technicals on the charts hitting new highs, you got to say that that two-way market is over and we're back on the upswing.
Well, that's encouraging to hear, Dana. You had waited for that move down, but then you said last time that you'd seen enough data, as you just confirmed here again, to lead you to believe that a new uptrend was starting, and that's what we've seen play out. So good call on that. When you see a move like this where the markets are taking back off, and as Corey mentioned, we've got the Fed uncertainty behind us now, the tapering program is moving along now, what sectors do you think will benefit in this new up leg? Which sectors do you see breaking out where you're seeing some strength that you want to be part of?
Yeah, well, as you know, we follow pretty much price in the internal data. So I don't care about what the Fed's doing. I don't, the taper means nothing to me. Anything that matters is going to show up on in the price and in the market data. So I look at stuff that held up the best and it's now breaking out or has been breaking out. So obviously the large caps held up the best. They've been hitting new highs, but now, as everyone has seen, we've seen the mid caps and now the small caps of the last few days breaking out. So you've seen a wide swath of the market in terms of sectors. You've had technology come back, hitting new highs again. Consumer discretionary going bananas to the upside. Financials are in good shape. Almost pretty much everything is back in decent shape. You're going to have some outperformers, obviously, but for the most part, if it's not, you know, on an upswing and threatening new highs, then I'd have some concern about that area of the market, because most things are. But you could almost throw a dart now and find a winner again. I think that will probably be the case for, you know, in the intermediate term, the next several months, until we start parsing out some more winners and losers. But those areas that I mentioned, the areas that have broken out and that are hitting new highs, that's what you want to be invested in, and certainly buying the dip. After we've pretty much gone straight up for the last 3 weeks, I think we've had essentially one down day in the last 3 weeks in the S&P. Certainly there is some froth, some sentiment has gotten a little too complacent and in the near term, but any dips for us right now are buys in pretty much most areas of the equity market, as well as most areas in the commodity market, which also, after big upswings beginning of the year, have been consolidating as well, and now are back on upswings. And you throw in cryptocurrencies in there as well, I think you've got a lot of potential targets to choose from.
Dana, this sounds like a full-on all-go into risk-on investing right now. Money, I guess, maybe was sitting on the sidelines, or quite frankly, went through that little bit of a digestion phase. And now it sounds like everything, except for maybe some of the safer assets, you are bullish. And you're seeing data that shows that the market's bullish. Is this fair?
Yeah, that's correct. I mean, we saw, you know, that historic post-election rally that started exactly 1 year ago. We got those huge overbought readings into the spring, but those were good overbought readings, you know, like massively overbought, that required some short-term digestion, and they did digest for, you know, some areas of the market over the last 6 months. And you're seeing some big breakouts now that you might not want to chase, and we don't like chasing. But when you consider the fact that things like the Russell 2000 have been digesting for the last 6 months, they have fuel to go a lot higher. So that's what we're expecting.
Well, Dana, I would be remiss if we didn't discuss our normal outside of the U.S. markets and look at other countries and other ETFs that track particular nations. You always have some interesting ones and a few wild cards and areas of growth that you're seeing internationally. Anything jumping out in the emerging markets or just other countries that you're seeing get some traction?
I should have remembered you probably asked me that. We've been on a bunch of the, the BRIC countries minus China. So actually minus Brazil and China. So just the RI countries, Russia and India, have been great. They continue to hit new highs. Those two are pulling back now, maybe providing some entry points right now. But those continue to look good. Northern Europe continues to look good. Maybe some surprising ones are a couple of the PIGS markets in Europe, like Italy just breaking out, Portugal just breaking out and showing some near-term potential. So some of the, like you mentioned, some of the riskier assets, some of the variable risk on assets, if you will, are moving higher right now, which is another good sign in the market. Some of those PIGS markets, some of, you look at the high beta stocks breaking out, especially versus low volatility here in the U.S. Also looking at something, an obscure index, the S&P Small Cap Pure Value Index, which as we've tracked is the highest beta of any of the style indices. And usually when that's moving higher, it's a good sign of risk on, and vice versa. Well, that one just broke out yesterday along with the Russell 2000. When that goes, it can really go, and is also a good sign of risk on. So that's a good sign. Maybe the only chink in the armor right now is high yield bonds, which have been kind of stuck in the mud over the last couple of weeks, not confirming kind of this rally in the rest of the risk on part of the market. So that's one area of concern. There's always something to be worried about, and maybe that's it right now. But I would say the lion's share, no pun intended, of the evidence suggests we move higher and you should buy the dips.
Okay, so all are across the board. Again, buy the dip mentality. Anything that can throw this off, Dana? Anything in your models that does show at least a couple risk factors to these markets?
Well, sentiment is always can be a short-term hang-up. You know, like I mentioned, right now we're seeing some very complacent short-term sentiment signals, which you get after like 3 weeks of up days every single day, and a very widely telegraphed breakout in the Russell 2000, which I'm not saying is a bad thing, but as we've talked about in the past, widely telegraphed or transparent developments have a tendency to, at least in the short term, maybe get the rug pulled out from under it temporarily. But I don't see anything from a longer term perspective that concerns me that much. Just overheated sentiment here and there after a big rally might need some time for some resetting or readjustment. But again, that should be short term, and any pullbacks will be buyers.
All right. So overall, Dana, we have made that transition to, I guess, the end of the year and that digestion phase of already what has been a good year for the markets. And now it seems like more bullish outlook to the end of the year. Does this tie into early on next year, or even throughout, let's say, to the middle of next year, some of these outlooks, or is the time frame here more just the next couple months?
Well, I would say our outlook is always an intermediate time period, which by that we look at like the 2 to 6 month time frame. So I would say you're probably pretty safe in extrapolating this analysis over that time period. Also, when you look at the length of the digestion in much of the markets in the U.S. and around the globe, as I mentioned, the Russell has been digesting, moving sideways since March or April. When you consider the size of the base, the size of the next move or rally is often proportionate to that. So I would say you've got several months of potential up move. Nothing's a guarantee, but based on the base and the length of the digestion, I would say you're looking at, you know, maybe into the late spring or middle of next year, like you mentioned.
Okay, Dana, we'll wrap it up here. Very interesting comments. And you know what? You were spot on in calling that two-way market over those last few months. And now this more bullish outlook, hey, the market's already telling us that it is breaking out. And some of the technicals that I'm seeing shows even more strength coming. And remember, these markets can stay overbought with strong sentiment levels much longer than at least the bears want to believe. Dana, thanks as always for your time, buddy. Great chatting with you. We'll chat again in another couple weeks. I hope you have a great weekend.
Sounds good. Thanks, Corey.